This is Sports Saturday with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Let's make sure you're in a good place before tomorrow's NFL action kicks off. Also, one of the real perks of having Chiefs-Bills be in primetime, I'm looking forward to an entire noon window of Red Zone Channel at home before I come in, and I'll start my pregame coverage. We've got pregame for you basically all day, and we've got the Broncos game, I believe, Broncos-Steelers, at noon here today, or tomorrow on this station here, Sports Radio 810 WHB. But I'm going to enjoy the Red Zone, come in, and then I'll start talking Chiefs-Bills again at 5 tomorrow. But if you want to enjoy the Red Zone action the best way possible, let me help you help yourself with Joe Wiz, who joins us right now. You can hear him tomorrow at 7 a.m. right here on Sports Radio 810 on the Fine Line. He's got an hour to get you ready for all the NFL action. You can also get him at joewizsports.com. You can follow him on Twitter at joewizsports and at Instagram at joewizsports as well. Joe, good to talk to you again after a couple of weeks of me being otherwise unavailable. Good to hear your voice again, sir.
Same here, Josh, and I'm glad you're alive and well. And there's one saying I've said for many years, and it's so true, health is priceless. And, you know, if you don't have your health, you don't have anything. I'm glad you're alive and well, and I'm glad you're back on the air.
Thank you very much, sir. I'm happy to be here. Let's talk about some of these games. I love a Chiefs primetime game, even though it means I'm here real late on Sunday night. Fine by me. I'll do radio into Monday morning if it means I can watch the Red Zone. What's jumping out to you right now in terms of what we're looking at for tomorrow in the non-Chiefs-Bills division to start?
Well, when you take a look at it here, the NFL will be getting off early tomorrow. We'll be opening up in London here in New York. The Jets will be taking on the Atlanta Falcons. And the big news there is wide receiver Calvin Ridley will not be traveling with the Falcons. He's the number one target for Matt Ryan. There is a possibility the Jets can actually win two games in a row. It's not one of my better plays on the board, but the line was 3. I've seen some 2.5 starting to surface. So pay attention. The Jets defense played really well last week against Tennessee. They had sacked Tannehill 7 times. And if the Jets defense plays the way they did against Tennessee, they have a shot of getting their second win of the season, which you know, no one expected with this young Zach team.
So with the Titans, and specifically, they've been one of the weirdest teams in the league this year for a lot of the reasons you just touched on. Right now, they're at Jacksonville. I see +4.5 to the Jags. The Jags have gotten a little bit close a couple of times. I think last week was their closest to getting on the board with a victory. Do you have any interest in that game, or does that one sort of spook you a little bit?
Well, when you look at the line here, I normally don't like laying points on the road. The Titans are a 4.5-point favorite. They're coming off that loss to the Jets. But Jacksonville, they've had so many distractions with Urban Meyer hanging out in nightclubs and all that other stuff that he's doing. I'd be surprised if he lasts through the season, to be honest with you. When you take a look at Jacksonville, they did play well at the Bengals. I mean, I had that game. They were getting 7. They had 10 days to prepare for the Titans here. They were up 14-0 on Cincinnati at halftime. They fell apart in the second half. The line kind of indicates Jacksonville this game here. The total in this game is rather high. It's 49, 48.5. I see some 49 in one place. I played the total this game. Sometimes if I don't like the game, I'd rather take a shot with the total. I don't think the Jags are going to be able to put a lot of points on the board. And Tennessee, you know, if they can just keep the ball on the ground, which traditionally they are a good rushing team. They are one of the best running backs in the country. So my recommendation would play the total in this game, go under 49.
I like that. I think that's a very good call where I don't know that either of these teams are going to have to score that much, be able to score that much. I think that's a smart play. What about the game that we're going to have here on 8:10 tomorrow at noon Central Time? The Broncos and Steelers, I've seen this now. I saw it at a pick'em, I think, yesterday. I'm also seeing right now an over-under of 39.5. I don't know what you've got. That seems crazy low. And the Broncos here maybe now favored by a point. Again, I've seen this move around a little bit, so I'm not sure what you're playing from. But what do you make of that game?
Yeah, this game is going to be playing at Heinz Field. Broncos got their first loss of the season last week against Baltimore. It wasn't surprising, though, because the Broncos are 3-0, but very deceiving because their 3-0 record was against teams that had a combined record of 0-9. And it caught up to them last week against the Ravens. And the Steelers, we're not sure what to think of them. Everyone keeps thinking that the Steelers are good, but they're really not. So Big Ben, his best days are behind him. But I do think that this is a good spot for the Steelers here. They have a problem rushing. rushing the ball. They haven't rushed for over 100 yards in any of their games this season. But the Broncos, they're going to have a problem at the quarterback position. That's the problem here. I think that when you have an injury at the quarterback position, that's a big problem. So I think that the Steelers, out of pick 'em, maybe even getting one at Heinz Field, I lean small towards Pittsburgh in this game here in what probably will be a low-scoring affair. Josh, don't be afraid of the 39 here. It might be 7-3 at halftime.
That's true. It might be 7-3 at final. I don't know. Depending on if it's Drew Lock versus Ben Roethlisberger. Yeah, you're right. That might not be too scary low of a number. Let's get to a really high over-under number. You mentioned that you do not shy away from playing the totals. What do you make of 56.5 for Bills Chiefs in primetime?
Wow, when you take a look at this game here, right now we have KC favored by 3 in this game. The total is at 57. And, when you look at it here, Buffalo has the number one defense in the NFL right now. But sometimes you have to look in between the lines on who their opposition is. I mean, mm-hmm. the Buffalo Bills, first week of the season, they played an inept Steelers team, and they lost to the Steelers. Mm-hmm. And then after that, they played the Houston Texans, the Washington Redskins, and Miami Dolphins. I think you, me, and Blake can put up a defense against those teams and stop them. So I don't know how big Blake is, but I know I'm 6'1", 240, so I can go in there. But anyway, getting back to this year, they've only allowed 21 points in the last three games, but again, against teams that are offensively challenged. When you take a look at KC, they played a very tough schedule, okay? Obviously, you guys are more familiar with KC than anybody is. Mm-hmm. KC should have won at Baltimore. They got that late fumble, but against the Chargers, they had some turnovers. That's been the biggest problem, and congratulations to Andy Reid. He's the only coach in the NFL that has 100 wins with two teams.
Yeah.
And ironically, last week he got his 100th win at Philadelphia. So that's a big milestone for Andy. And I know when he was playing in Philly, even me being up in New York and in the New York Giant area, we always had tremendous respect for Andy, and he's one of the most liked coaches in the entire NFL. But here, the total here is a 56. It's a little high. I mean, I know KC won last year in the AFC Championship game 38-24, and then when they played at Orchard Park in the early part of the season last year back in October, KC won that game 26-17. But I think there's some problems with the Chargers defense, the Chiefs defense. Mm-hmm. They just given up a lot of points to the Chargers. They've given up a lot of points to Jalen Hurts last week as well. So that concerns me a little bit. And Buffalo's clicking in all cylinders. Even though I said Buffalo has a weak schedule, their offense is almost scoring 40 points per game. I took the 3 points here with Buffalo. I think that's a live dog. It wouldn't shock me until I see KC playing better. I mean, we know KC has the talent and the favorite still to get to the Super Bowl, but yet they're not playing the way they should be right now. The total is a 56. With Buffalo's defense, have to have a little bit of respect for it, not to contradict what I said, them playing weak opposition, but they still only give up 21 points in three games. I think that the 56 might be a little high because the Buffalo D is good. I don't think it's good as being ranked number one in the NFL. Mm-hmm. But instead of the total, Josh, to be honest with you, I kind of like Buffalo in this game here. I know all your listeners out there in Kansas City aren't going to love that. They're going to be like, Joe Wiz doesn't know what he's talking about. But guess what? I'm taking the dog. I think that getting 3, this game's going to go right down to the wire.
I think everything you laid out there is exactly why this game is so interesting, because you're right. The Bills have played those three teams most recently that the three of us could have put up at least a little bit of a fight against defensively. They fall to Pittsburgh whenever Pittsburgh was still a little bit healthier, and I still don't know what to make of them. And you do have a Chiefs defense that has struggled enormously. I mean, we've talked about this already today where, against the Eagles, there was a fumble that they forced that was not ruled a fumble immediately, and they didn't challenge it in time. And one of those touchdowns was really late. But also, on the other hand, the Eagles never struggled to move the ball. Like, it was not a fun watch on behalf of the Chiefs defense. So I think all of that kind of layered on top of itself creates a really interesting matchup. And I don't hate the Bills +3 there at all. I think neutral site, you get that game at a pick 'em or whatever. That feels about right. And so I think the Bills +3, even on the road, even in prime time, I think is perfectly fine. Joe, go ahead.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, please.
Prior to the season starting, I did pick Buffalo to go to the Super Bowl, so even though they're off to a good start. So we'll see what happens. But I think it's going to be a good game. Kansas City is real. They're just not, you know. And another thing, Josh, this game here is a lot more important to KC than it is to Buffalo. Buffalo plays in the AFC East, and there's nobody's going to challenge them in the AFC East. You got Miami, Jets, and New England. But for KC, this is an important game for them here. So I think the winner of this game here is still going to be the favorite to get to the Super Bowl.
You also have the one seed on the line. You only have the one first round bye because they expanded the playoffs and everything. And so the Chiefs right now at 2-2, they fall to 2-3 and lose a tiebreaker to the Ravens and the Bills. The one seed isn't totally out of the picture at that point, but I have to think that would probably change their futures lines in a pretty dramatic way. Do you think that's fair?
Absolutely. I think right now KC's still the favorite, but if they lose tomorrow, they're no longer going to be the favorite to win the Super Bowl. And, you know, the Chiefs right now, they've scored 134 points, but they've allowed 125 points. And that's the most in the entire AFC. No team has allowed as many points as Kansas City. It's hard to believe, but it's true. No team has allowed. And I think there's only one team in the NFC that's given up as many points. Well, actually two, Atlanta Falcons and Seattle. That's not saying much because the Falcons stink. Seattle's defense, we saw, they don't good. But so, yeah, KC's got to get emphasis. Their offense is okay. It's their defense and keeping, you know, controlling the ball. So that total there, I think if KC is going to be Buffalo, they're going to need to come up with a defensive plan to stop the hottest team in the NFL right now, averaging close to 40 points per game.
Blake, who absolutely could at least get to Davis Mills once, I think, also has something. What you got, Blake?
Yeah, Joe, so all week, if you've been paying attention to the Twitter sphere and the social media, the Bills fans and the Chiefs fans have been going back and forth with last time these guys played, obviously, in the playoffs. Chirpiness was all over the place. The players were getting after it with each other and some extracurriculars, both in between and after the whistles. Is this a game where, you know, some fans have deemed this a revenge game on the Bills' half. Some guys have deemed this kind of a, we're going to stick you back in the mouth on the Chiefs' side. Is this a game that the players put that much emphasis on like that? Or since it is kind of still early in the regular season, although possibly, the wild card of the playoff potentials later could totally change the seeding up, is that something that actually plays a part in the players' mind? Or is this just taking care of business?
I think it's a great question, by the way, Blake. I think that this here is, it's early part of the season. This game will be playing tomorrow. It's October 10th. I think it's early in the season. If it was more later in the season, there's still, you know, with the longer season, there's still a lot of things that are going to be settled. But I think right now, I just think that the teams, players are going to come out there and just play. And, you know, Bills want to make a statement. And if everyone wants to take them seriously. But prior to what happened last year, I don't think that's so relevant because Kansas City beat them fair and square. It wasn't close. It was 38-24. KC played one of their best games of the season. Buffalo had plenty of opportunities. There was a couple of shots there. But listen, it happens every game, whether we play pickup football or in the NFL. So, no, strictly business, Blake. That's what I expect tomorrow.
Joe Wiz, you can follow him on Twitter and Instagram at Joe Wiz Sports. You can go to joewizsports.com. You can listen to The Fine Line tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Joe, on your way out here, tell people one more time what they can hear if they tune in at 7 o'clock tomorrow right here on Sports Radio 810.
Well, we're going to talk about every single NFL game here. I'm going to surprise you. I'm going to leave you in suspense. There's one team in the NFL that has a 17-3 spread record on the road, and it's a surprise team. I'll only give you a hint. It's in my area, so I'll just tell you that. But you'll be listening to The Fine Line tomorrow. We start early tomorrow in New York. The London game starts at 9:30 with the Jets and Falcons. I gave you a little bit of a prelude. Calvin really not being in is going to be a big factor. The Jets might have a chance to win that game here. But don't be afraid to play underdogs. That's what I tell everyone, Josh and Blake. Everyone likes to play the favorites. Everyone likes to play the overs, but the dogs are covering about 60% of the time right now in the NFL. You got to bet smart.
Joe, you're the best. Look forward to talking to you again very soon. A whole lot sooner than last time, and also I'm going to try to stay out of the hospital and keep our little chats going.
All right, guys. Thank you very much.
It's Joe Wiz. One more time. Here's where you can get all of his work. The Fine Line tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. JoeWizSports.com. At JoeWizSports on Twitter and Instagram as well. We'll take a break here on Sports Saturday. Whenever we come back, we'll talk to my dear friend Jordan Foote of Arrowhead Report. He'll join us to talk about Chiefs and Bills, what he thinks is interesting going into tomorrow night's primetime matchup. That's next here on Sports Saturday.
This is Sports Saturday with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB. This is Sports Saturday with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Sports Saturday rolling on here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Joshua Briscoe here with you on this side of the microphone. Blake Schneider's on the other side of the glass, DJing, hitting the buttons, various production, calling the guests, etc., etc. The guests currently include Jordan Foote of Arrowhead Report. You can follow him on Twitter, at FootNoted. You can also hear him three times a week in the Roughing the Kicker Chiefs podcast. Just search for Roughing the Kicker wherever you get your podcasts. Jordan, good to speak to you, my friend. How are you doing on this beautiful Saturday morning? Yeah, afternoon, I guess. It's afternoon. Sorry, I just spagged all over the place.
You know, it's the same thing. You know, it's the noon hour. It's a Saturday. You're still kind of getting used to being a living, breathing, walking, radioing human being again. So you get a pass for this one for sure.
I'm just so used to this show typically out of football season being like at 9 to noon or 10 to noon or whatever, but typically over by noon. We're going till 2 today because college football and college game day and everything. And so I just said good morning. And again, then if anyone listening is not familiar, Steve Spagnuolo frequently takes the podium at like 12:04 and wants to say good morning and then has to say good afternoon and always sort of talks his way through it. And it's just one of the most charming things about him, I think. I love it every time. It makes me smile. But that's, you know, that's the energy I'm trying to bring today. Although I don't know if bringing Chiefs defense energy is a good thing right now. Jordan, how are you feeling as we're here about what would be 30 hours or so ahead of Chiefs Bills?
Man, I know that on any Josh Briscoe-related programming, really anything I go on either, there's always a Seth Kizer name drop. There's always a Seth Kizer plug.
Yeah.
But his article, it was fantastic. Man, people really need to – not only is he basically letting people rob him with the price of that Substack, but it's really good. And I was trying to – you know, put into words what has been going on with the Chiefs defense. And I had those same general observations, but the way he kind of breaks everything down and simplifies it so people like us who aren't, you know, completely not nerdy, but I guess too smart almost into it, can fully understand what's going on. And a lot of it, you know, people bring up they wanted to sign Smith, who got cut by the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. They want to sign this guy. They want to sign Stephon Gilmore. Anytime a somewhat high-profile name, regardless of team fit, regardless of playing status, contract, any of that becomes available, Chiefs fans, Chiefs Twitter, even some Chiefs media, just it's ablaze with takes about it. I don't know if this is necessarily a injection of talent is going to help or at least solve the problem issue. I think it's going to have to be internal, and we'll talk more about that over the course of this segment, but feeling cautiously optimistic. It does suck though that the Chiefs have a pretty tall task in how they're going to be tested against the Bills offense on Sunday.
Yeah, so I mean, I'd like to try to lean in a optimist's and probably a pessimist's direction and try to figure out what you think is the closest to the truth. What would you be optimistic about right now? And we've mentioned Seth's article a couple of times already on this show now, and rightfully so. But where would you look to say, you know what, I do think there is room for this to get better. I do not think that this is going to take a miracle for them to improve this X element of the defense.
Yeah, I think really at all three levels, there's a clear path to improvement. Some of it really, it's going to be regression to the mean. I mean, it would be very, very shocking if the defense was this horrific, like historically bad all year. Now, it could still be like dead last in the league or 30th or whatever, but I don't think it's going to be quite this unwatchable. With that said, on the defensive line, getting Frank Clark back, I think, is a net positive. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it takes Mike Dana off the field, then maybe not, especially with his improved play. Tershawn Wharton, you mentioned him. Hopefully that will help. Anything Frank Clark can provide is beneficial. The linebacking core, man, it's it's been hard to watch. That has been worse than I think even the secondary. And to see a team like Philadelphia that runs a fairly basic offense right now with Jalen Hurts to just continuously attack the Chiefs in the flats and have that level of success against them. Granted, Nick Bolton is being asked to do a lot more than I think he's capable of. Part of that comes with being a second-round pick. Part of that comes with Willie Gay Jr. being injured. A lot of people expected Willie Gay Jr. to come back this week. He obviously has a little bit more than just football-related injury to deal with right now. I'm hoping he's going to be okay. But that would, in theory, help the defense improve. He's the most athletic linebacker they have easily. Anthony Hitchens looked really good in the preseason. The whole defense really looked really good in the preseason. I thought they were going to come out like gangbusters and be pretty solid, but Ben Neiman, he was their best linebacker a week ago, and if that's the case, then your linebackers probably had a pretty rough day overall. Then in the secondary, Tyrann Mathieu has been back, and he had those couple of interceptions off Lamar Jackson. He's made some good tackles. I know people kind of have bones to pick with his tackling sometimes. I think it's been improved this season. Really, we talked about it time and time again. They took a huge risk when they let Bashaud Breeland go. Granted, he has, I believe he's not even starting right now for the Vikings. Like, I think he got to start. It's been bad.
It's been bad.
So with him, you know, Juan Thornhill saw an uptick in snaps. Ideally, he would help on the back end a little bit. It's just an inexperienced group of defensive backs, and obviously it's showing right now. They just can't even get plays in correctly. They can't get lined up correctly. Passing your man off to somebody else is something that they aren't communicating well. So I think it's less, far less of a Steve Spagnuolo problem and really more of a maybe he threw too much at them and some of the guys are just taking a while to adjust problem, and they have guys at all three levels kind of battling injuries problem. It's a multitude of things with the Chiefs. So I think there is some positive regression that's going to happen there. Can they be close to league average? I'm really starting to think that's not going to be the case. But if they're like the 20th, like a lower third defense, can that get the Chiefs to the Super Bowl? I think that still gives them a pretty decent shot. So they get probably another month before it's time to just absolutely spam the panic button repeatedly, I think.
I think I agree with all of that. Willie Gay front, I didn't mention this earlier in the show, and I should have. If anybody didn't see this, Andy Reid said yesterday that he was excused from practice for personal reasons, and very shortly after Reid said that, Willie Gay tweeted out, "I love you all, just know my mental health is effed up," is what he tweeted. I tweeted this, and I think it's about all I've got on it, is just that people who are open about their own mental health issues, that's a very good way of letting other people that they're not alone or weird or the exception whenever they're dealing with theirs. So for Gay to tweet about that as sort of bluntly as he did there, I think can do some good for some other people, but also it makes you worry for him, obviously. His practice window was opened the beginning of this week. So the Chiefs could wait at least two more weeks to activate him from the IR. That's how that practice window works. Again, it's like, as you mentioned, Jordan, it's not just the toe now. We just don't really know what else is going on there, and obviously wish him the best and hope that he takes however much time he needs to figure that out and to figure out how to manage that, because that's serious stuff, obviously. So we really don't know what his timeline is going to be. And you mentioned the linebackers stepping away from Willie Gay. The linebackers have been worse than the biggest pessimists, and there weren't that many pessimists in camp. Anthony Hitchens came out in the best shape of his life, you know, and holy cow, has that not mattered. I mean, it's not he has not moved like Willie Gay does. That speed is not Anthony Hitchens's predominant strength. But the issue is that his strength is supposed to be that he has a PhD in Steve Spagnuolo's defense. You know, that he should be able to get the calls through and make sure everyone is lined up accurately. And Tyrann Mathieu as well. Just another depth behind him. But specifically on the linebackers, I mean, you mentioned that Ben Neiman might have been their best linebacker against the Eagles. Nick Bolton, for, I mean, I'm not surprised by kind of exactly how the Nick Bolton experience has gone, where he's a physical guy who can make some great plays to stuff a run, but you do not want to have him in coverage. And he is the very rare rookie defender who is getting significant playing time in a Spags defense. I don't think that was the plan necessarily. So I'm curious if you drill in on those three guys right now, how disappointing have any of those three been for you? And then do you think that, just leaving Willie Gay out of the picture for now, is there anything that you think could be done to maximize that unit for whatever it's worth?
The craziest part, I think, well, there are multiple crazy parts, obviously, but the craziest part about the linebacker spot, there were people before the season, like either before the preseason or even after the preseason, when people were calling Anthony Hitchens Lightfinny Hitchens. I still call him that, whether it's working or not, that they thought with his contract, like making $10 million or $12 million or whatever he is next year, the Chiefs would not punt on that, and they'd keep him around, and he would be like breaking out into being worth that value and like being a top paid linebacker and all that stuff. And I still think that there is some distant possibility. Like, if the other linebackers aren't good, then do you want to keep one of them? But like with the Chiefs and the cap situation the way it is, I just kind of assumed, you know, you drafted Nick Bolton to be something close to what Anthony Hitchens is on a rookie contract, younger, much, much cheaper, you know, and I think that's still possible. Nick Bolton's a smart football player. He knows what to do. He just kind of has a problem doing it, like getting to spots. And I know people use that kind of explanation for Ben Neiman as well. The Chiefs just don't have guys that can keep up with tight ends in coverage, keep up with running backs in coverage. Even Anthony Hitchens, who did lose some weight, did look faster, still does look faster, hasn't been very good, and it's taking a toll on run defense. He can't stack and shed as easily. Nick Bolton has really blown up some plays in run defense. He's really been he's maintained some gap integrity. He's been a smart player. Like, he's been what I expected. But people cling to, you know, PFF coverage grades and stuff like that. We don't even know a ton about what Willie Gay Jr. can do yet. Like, that's the thing. People assume that because he's a good athlete and his coverage grade was so good in a limited sample in college, that he's going to suddenly be this savior for the defense, and that would be great for the Chiefs, but he still is relatively inexperienced. He's coming into what would have been his first, you know, full non-COVID season with a bigger role. So in terms of those three, I think there's – I just don't know if there are ways that Spagnuolo could – like, you need someone to cover running backs and tight ends. You can't, you know, bring Tyrann Mathieu down to be a box safety all the time if he's going to be playing in the slot, because your cornerbacks are bad. You can't bring Dan Sorensen down in to be a box safety if Juan Thornhill can't be trusted over the top. You know, there's just, it's not like a one set of personnel problem. It's all over the place. And then the Chiefs did get Dorian O'Daniel in the game a little bit last week against the Eagles, and he kind of served as a spy for Jalen Hurts. And I wonder if they possibly implement some of that with Josh Allen. Spags kind of went evil scientist, mad scientist Spags in the fourth quarter, got some good pressure on Jalen Hurts and the Eagles, and really was able to experiment with some stuff. I know when the Chiefs get up big, that's when Spags likes to really bring the house and do the fun stuff that we've grown to expect from him. But I think, you know, the linebacker position in the modern NFL isn't terribly important in terms of how it can help you, unless you have like a Pete Warner or Darius Leonard. But when you have limited athletes out there that can't get out in the flat and your back end is limited, it shows up, and that's what's happening to the Chiefs right now.
I'm a little annoyed that you took the wind right out of my sails on one thing that kind of is it. If it's not the only trick in my bag at this point, it's one of the only ones, and it's one that also, like, there has some precedent, and you touched on it there with Dan Sorensen, who has been, I mean, the worst starting safety in football this year. Like, I think you can say that pretty factually. If you could let Juan Thornhill be your free safety type, the guy that can do some single high things or can play back there with Matthew, can play in that sort of more traditional and deep safety role, then Sorensen could come back up, theoretically, and do some of his kind of weak side linebacker stuff in the box that he, in a lot of cases, gained some favor in Kansas City for being really good at, at least being impactful and interesting at. I would rather see, I don't think it's going to end great regardless, but if you say, hey, who do you want to see trying to chase down a running back out of the backfield or trying to cover a tight end, Dan Sorensen or Anthony Hitchens or Nick Bolton? I would rather see Sorensen do that, especially if it helps me get Juan Thornhill back on the field. I know a lot of that ends up being schematic in terms of responding to what the offense is showing to the defense. I know Spags does a lot of that, and that Sorensen, I guess, in his mind at least, can end up doing a few more things to keep the defense more flexible. But at the very least, I would like to see them try that.
Yeah, and with Thornhill, you know, it's still so awkward, that entire situation, and he did get a snap increase. The Chiefs are kind of giving him entire drives and saying, hey, dude, go out there. And I'm not fully in the Juan Thornhill obviously, blatantly, clearly needs to be playing way more snaps than Dan Sorensen. Like, I agree that he should be playing full snaps or close to it, but he can't do some of that little stuff. And I know that that's kind of a cliche thing to say, but playing good run defense, being a sound tackler, he'll make these splash plays that make people kind of think that he's this great tackling machine that really can break down and pay attention to stuff like that, and take proper angles. He's also whiffed quite a bit this season. He's had some plays where he's gotten caught off guard, plays where he fell down, stuff like that. So I don't know. It's like a double-edged sword. Like, if the Chiefs want him to, you know, get his confidence back or whatever, or say that he's getting there, he's getting close, you can only do so much in practice to get back there. And if confidence building is the goal, then being stuck behind Dan Sorensen week after week probably doesn't build his confidence. I would go out on a limb and say that, especially after, you know, he said, I'm back, I feel good, I feel great, you know. And then he tweets out the, you know, it's positive stuff, like it's going to get better. Like, it's like he's stuck in, like, a poor relationship or something like that, where he's like, you know, this, I'm going to keep working on myself and get better. And it's like the Chiefs need to – they're obviously never going to speak out, and Spags is never going to come out and say, yeah, you know, I just don't trust Juan to do this or that. Talent is not the issue, because if that was the question, he'd be playing all the snaps and Dan Sorensen would be the third safety. So talent clearly isn't the problem. It's there is something that the Chiefs don't trust him to do. And I think, considering the rest of the defense is struggling so much, I'd go out on a limb and say that might be kind of affecting his snap count a little bit, but it could be continuing to increase, which would be a positive development for them.
You're right that there is some sort of trust issue, it seems, which is just bizarre. It's just all so incredibly strange and unhelpful at every turn. Why don't we talk about the offense? I feel like we've beaten the defense into the ground, and I'm sad now. So let's talk about the thing that can turn my mood around, that also can turn around any game at any given time. You've also written about the newcomer already up at ArrowheadReport.com, part of the Sports Illustrated Fan Nation Network. You wrote about Josh Gordon and what you think can be expected of him in this game tomorrow night. What are you expecting from Josh Gordon tomorrow? And then what are you right now willing to expect from him kind of in the bigger picture with Kansas City this season?
Sure. So starting Sunday night, I don't think if he's even active, like the Chiefs have kind of been, everyone would assume he's going to play and suit up and all that stuff, and the Chiefs would officially involve him in the offense. All week they were kind of saying, you know, he still has to have a good week of practice, all that stuff, and I think that's kind of past everybody. Josh Gordon, man, 15 snaps, I think, something like that, where he's on the field every once in a while. Maybe he'll get a third down. The Chiefs give him a couple design plays that are intended for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stuff happens, so whether they end up going to him or not is going to be up to whatever happens in the game. But long term, I really do think, like, even if Josh Gordon has two catches per game for the Chiefs, which would be fine, they're going to be big catches. Like, they're going to be on third downs. They're going to be in the red zone.
Hmm.
He has, or at least had, I mean, he hasn't played in a while, so that's another thing to take into account. People are saying he looks really good, which I drank the Kool-Aid on it. Like, I do think Josh Gordon's going to be productive. He can gain separation in ways that Mecole Hardman can't. Like, if you press Mecole Hardman, he has trouble. DeMarcus Robinson just isn't the athlete that either of those guys are, hasn't been able to do it. Robinson has been steady at everything he does, which, you know, good or bad. But Josh Gordon, he's just a big guy. He's a good athlete. He can win one-on-one. He can go down the field and make plays, has great hands. His body control is insane. Like, he's an ideal complement to Tyreek Hill. And I don't think it's fair to do a one-to-one comparison with Josh Gordon to Sammy Watkins. But Watkins was the guy where even if he didn't have a big game, he was still making an impact. He was opening things up for other players on the field. And, you know, by default, when defenses are focused on Hardman's speed, you know, motion pre-snap, Clyde Edwards-Helaire coming out of the backfield, Travis Kelce being Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill being Tyreek Hill, Josh Gordon's going to feast. And I don't know if that means he has one game where he explodes for 100 yards or he has, like, the back-breaking Brady to Gronk third down connection several times in a game. Like, I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know how much the Chiefs will eventually use him. I personally think that he will be that number two receiver at some point over the next month or so. But as far as Sunday goes, I just think it's too soon to expect anything more than maybe just 15 plays or so. And I could be totally wrong. I'm not Andy Reid or Eric Bieniemy, but that's kind of what I'd be looking for this week.
I think the point about those targets and those plays, whenever they happen, being in very high leverage, high impact situations is a great one, because that is kind of the guy that he is. I mean, if you see a defense ready to key in on Travis Kelce on third and six and to make sure that Tyreek Hill doesn't get the ball beyond the line of scrimmage or beyond the sticks, then all of a sudden you've got Josh Gordon one-on-one somewhere, and he's got to get over a five-foot-nine slot corner or something. And you know what? I feel pretty good about that. You also reminded me of this stat that I wanted to look up earlier and forgot about. And I'll just read it. This is from Matt Lane of the KC Sports Network. He tweeted this Sunday night after the Eagles game was wrapped up. In the last six quarters, here are how many passes wide receivers have caught beyond the line of scrimmage. Tyreek Hill, 11. Byron Pringle, 3. DeMarcus Robinson, 1. And that's the entire list. 4 receptions beyond the line of scrimmage for wide receivers not named Tyreek Hill. For all the conversations we had this offseason, we've already patted ourselves on the back about the corners and everything. For the conversations we had this offseason about, you know, the Chiefs trying to key in on Juju Smith-Schuster, or the conversations we had about how, you know, they still have Patrick Mahomes and really Travis Kelce is their second receiver or their first one, but, you know, they got Hill and Kelce and all of that. 4 receptions beyond the line of scrimmage over the course of 6 quarters for wide receivers is not sustainable.
It's rough, man. It really is. And, like, I'm going to make a basketball analogy, and this could completely make no sense, or it could make some sense. We'll see.
I worked with Beers for a really long time. I'll be fine.
Okay, so if you have your starting five, you obviously have Hill and Kelce as your superstar. You know, they can do it all. They can drop 30 apiece. It's like LeBron and Wade, whatever, Curry and Klay Thompson, all that stuff. Then you have your Mecole Hardman, who specializes in, you know, people expected him to make that leap this year and be a true number two. Well, some people did, to be a true number two receiver, to gain separation, to round out his route tree and make it to where the Chiefs wouldn't need to bring in a Josh Gordon. And he hasn't done that. The Chiefs haven't involved him that way. And when they have, he hasn't been able to reward them for that investment. He's like your, you know, guy who just shoots threes.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. He stands in the corner and he shoots, you know, fine. He's a pretty good shooter.
Yeah. And when he's hot, you know, he's going to have a big game. But when he's having an off night, he kind of disappears and people forget about him. And then DeMarcus Robinson, like a J.R. Smith, where you're like, no. And that's it. If the play works, you're like, okay, well, that's fine. And, I mean, down to the kind of spatial awareness and all that stuff, Josh Gordon can be like the well-rounded scorer, but like the volume player where sometimes you don't want them taking shots, but like when the court gets smaller, defenses really tighten up late in the game, and you know, mid-range shots are bad, analytics say they suck, you have a guy that can make that mid-range shot and you really need a bucket, you just give it to him. You're like, you know, these guys are well-rounded, these guys specialize in things, this guy can go help me out when I really need him to, but he might not really do anything for the rest of the game. He might try a bunch and might not do it, but when it comes down to it, like the Chiefs, those third downs, those Hills having an off night because the Ravens have held him to 14 yards, or somehow a defense has tried to stop Travis Kelce, which that's much, much, much easier said than done. Mm-hmm. I think Josh Gordon can be there for the Chiefs, and I can't say the same about Hardman or Robinson. Gordon could literally go 3.5 quarters and have one catch for 5 yards and, you know, throw a couple blocks in the run game. But when it comes down to it, I think that Mahomes will grow to trust him, and that is something that we haven't been able to say about anyone outside of Hill or Kelce.
All right, I want to put some names on some of these things. Now, the way that you describe what Josh Gordon could do, you're going mid-range, is not going to fit with the name that I had in mind, but I'm gonna flesh it out here. So you've got your prime Stephen Clay for Kelce and Hill, and you can decide who's who. I'm not sure. I could probably make an argument either direction. Doesn't really matter. J.R. Smith as DeMarcus Robinson is perfect. Is Mecole Hardman Tyler Hero, where he had just like an incredibly hot stretch and everyone's like, oh man, you can't trade this dude for James Harden right now. Like, this guy's the future. And then has not developed since then. Is that fair? You know more about the NBA than I do.
I'm a Heat fan, and I obviously never thought Hero was going to be a superstar, but last year I was like, you know, this guy's going to take a leap, and then he completely flopped. And this year, man, I know preseason basketball doesn't really mean a ton, just like preseason football. Dude, he looks good. Like,
okay.
He's made a legitimate leap. So in theory, like if you would have asked me that 2 months ago or even 1 week ago, I would have said yes. But I'm trying to think of a guy that we can just call him Tyler Hero for the sake of time and for the sake of not being able to think of somebody else.
That's fine. And if Tyler Hero this year advances beyond that, you know, God bless Tyler Hero. We can reevaluate. Maybe Mecole Hardman has a couple of hot weeks or whatever. But to finish out the analogy again, you went mid range with it. I'm thinking about the dirty work and a guy that this team has not had, and I think Josh Gordon is bordering on Draymond Green territory for me in a positive way, like somebody who you do not like that you can get your bucket underneath that will be there to not literally play defense in this case, but in the analogy, and that can do some of the dirty work, that can clean up, that can be a little bit of a your short yardage guy, and also win some matchups because he's a kind of a unique talent. How do you feel about that?
And Draymond could literally have like 5 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists in a game.
Right.
And, you know, people will go on box score Twitter, they'll pull out the spreadsheet and say, you know, this absolutely sucks, he isn't good. But those who watch the game, they're like, man, it just flows better when Draymond's out there. And Sammy Watkins was kind of that same way too. Like, even when he didn't have, was always the debate, when Sammy Watkins is out there, the Chiefs offense performs better. And I think that's a really good analogy. I was going to say Mikal Bridges for the Suns, because I know that you like him, but then Bridges doesn't really have the go-to bucket getter. He's kind of a 3-and-D player that, you know, he's underrated and slept on. But the Draymond comparison is perfect. And this is not the direction I thought our conversation was going to go. It's been a lot better that I expected it to be. So I think that's a pretty good starting five.
I'm telling you again, I have done a lot of radio with Beards, and so the completely shoehorned, unnecessary NBA comparison to a football thing at this point is so ingrained in my DNA that I don't even blink in the face of it anymore.
I love it. I love it.
We'll let you go. Jordan, tell everybody really quick. Again, Roughing the Kicker is the podcast. You can get it wherever you get your podcasts. You've talked to Nick Fiero, who is going to join us here in about less than 10 minutes. So I know that he's on the latest episode. What can people get if they even want to go through the archives of this last week of Roughing the Kicker? And then what's up on arrowheadreport.com that you've done so far?
There's everything up on arrowheadreport.com.
That's true.
There's always something up on arrowheadreport.com, and then I had a really good conversation with Nick. I'm sure there's going to be a little bit of overlap because that's just natural with what you're going to talk about, but I really encourage people, you know, he had a wealth of knowledge. Those SI Fan Nation guys just do a great job. He's very intelligent, knows about the team. He'll give you some injury updates and really kind of an inside look into the Bills, and that's probably my favorite thing about every Friday. I drop a preview conversation with the opposing site's publisher, and I think that for people who, you know, none of us intently watch the Buffalo Bills every single week, or at least I'd like to think that we don't, it's a really good refresher and kind of gives us some info we didn't have beforehand.
Roughing the Kicker is the podcast. Arrowheadreport.com is the website. Jordan Foote is the person. You can also follow him on Twitter at Footnoted. Jordan, thank you very much for joining us here this afternoon, as it technically is. And, I mean, I'll talk to you again in like an hour probably.
Yep, don't drink that diet limeade too fast.
No, I've been nursing it, man. That's why I go Route 44, because I can. This is going to get me through basically the entire day.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks a lot, man.
As long as they didn't accidentally put sugar in it, which in this case I probably would have known by now. Follow me on Twitter at Footnoted. I already told you everywhere else you can get all of Jordan's work. We'll take a break. More Sports Saturday right after this.
This is Sports Saturday with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB. This is Sports Saturday with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I told you I might give you a quick college football update if we needed to today. Texas, Oklahoma is 35-20, Texas, with 15 seconds left until halftime. I don't know what the over-under of that game was, but I hope you had the over. Because 35-20 at the half, and Texas is about to probably kick a field goal right before the half, it looks like here. So we could get a 38-20 halftime score with the Longhorns. Right now, putting OU on upset alert. It's kind of fun. That concludes our college football coverage for this segment, though, because I want to get to an audio clip from Andy Reid here based on what we just talked about with Jordan Foote. And before we get to Nick Fiero of Bill Central here in just a minute. But Andy Reid talked a little bit about Josh Gordon and his potential workload whenever he spoke to the media yesterday. Here's what Andy Reid had to say about the Chiefs' new wide receiver.
Yeah, we'll see just how that goes. Matt, we'll just see how all that works out as we go through tomorrow and get ready for Sunday. I'm gonna talk to him and just see how this week went for him.
I just thought I'd get you that much. We don't have a whole lot of time this segment. Eric Bieniemy was a little more insightful on Josh Gordon. We may play those audio clips whenever we're back after we talk to Nick in a little bit, because we gotta move through this one a little bit. But let me expand on what I'm hoping to see here from Josh Gordon, and something in particular that Jordan touched on there. The Draymond / Sammy Watkins comparison of things move better when they are on the field / court, I think is so apt, because we can go back to this Chiefs offense being excellent at various points, and it's excellent right now. It's another thing that Seth Kizer's pointed out. We're up to like 4 mentions of Seth today, which still seems low. Always take the over on that one as well. But what Seth was sort of looking at is how incredibly good the Chiefs' offense has been so far this year on a points-per-drive basis, even while having tremendous turnover problems, which is crazy. Like, the Chiefs have lost a lot of points to turnovers and some bad luck, and they've still been unbelievably effective. That should not happen. But, you know, jumbo shrimp and all of that, right? This is exactly what the Chiefs are. So bringing Josh Gordon in, though, or remembering back to the best days of Sammy Watkins, he did not have to be going off for defenses to respect him. And that's the one way that I could see Gordon having a slightly larger role than even Jordan's estimate there could have been. I don't think he's going to have 10 catches, but maybe he gets more than those 10 or 15 snaps if the Chiefs think, hey, man, you know what? We're not going to throw you the ball, but defenses are going to respect you more than they have to respect Byron Pringle or DeMarcus Robinson. On the other hand, we don't know for 100% fact that he's going to even be active tomorrow night. And frankly, I don't think that's the absolute worst thing in the world because we've got a lot of information to still figure out in terms of where Gordon is going to fit in this offense and where the Chiefs belong. Blake has given me some various signals. He said 15 and then started a five-second countdown. What happened there, Blake?
Said 15 and then you said do the little finger fancy dance.
The 5-4-3-2-1, but you said 15 and then started doing 5-4-3-2-1. There's no way 15 seconds had gone by at that point.
It had.
Well, now we've gone over. We'll take a break. Nick Fierro of Bill Central will be here to talk about the enemy whenever we come back here on Sports Saturday.
This is Sports Saturday with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.